we're wrapping up this series this morning. Would you stand if you're able? And we'll start by declaring some things about who we are, all right? Let's do this together. Are we ready? Are we ready? Here we go. We are the Assembly of Jesus, built a diverse group of people to continue the work of Jesus in our neighborhoods, our community, and the world. Our heart is to worship God with our lives, to assemble as a family and community of Jesus followers, and to share the good news as we go. Okay, I'm going to read our key text from this morning. This is from the Passion Paraphrase of Psalm 42. This is what it says. I'll read it. It says, "So I speak over my heartbroken soul. Take courage." He's speaking over his soul. "Take courage. Remember when you used to be right out in front leading the procession of praise? When the giant crowd of worshipers gathered to go into the presence of the Lord, you shouted with joy as the sound of passionate celebration filled the air and the joyous multitude of lovers honored the feast of the Lord." Remember when you used to worship? Yeah? And then so then it says, "So then my soul, why would you be depressed? Why would you sink into despair? Just keep hoping and waiting on God, your Savior, for no matter what, I will still sing with praise, for you are my saving grace." Amen. Amen. I want to pray this prayer together. Let's pray this aloud. It says, "Give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. And I receive it as a beloved child of God, with ears to hear and eyes to see what my Father will show me." God, I pray that you will do what only you can do in this room this morning. Speak to our spirit, man. Speak to our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. All right. So we're bringing this collection of talks to a close today, but man, what a journey. What a journey to be able to offer hope and to even say today, it doesn't matter what the circumstance, what season of life, or what you're up against, we've gathered to worship the God of all hope. And in every situation with God, the story isn't finished until God says it's finished. And so there's always hope. Psalms 42 opens, interestingly, we read from a section of it there, with the header that not too many people ever really memorize or get tattooed on their arm, but this is what it says in the header of Psalm 42. It says, "For the music director, a maskil of the sons of Korah." So what does that mean? It means that this psalm is a song. And probably the way that this psalm was used in the congregation was that it was sung. And so we're going to see today the power of songs, psalms, and poetry as part of the narrative of God bringing hope into our lives. And before we dive into the text, there's a song that really parallels the text and the message today. And maybe we'll have a chance to get back to it at the end. But I want to sing a part of it this morning. If you can unmute me, make sure I'm unmuted up here. See if you guys remember this one. It goes back a little bit.
Be still, there is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it is unfailing. And his arms, a fortress for the weak. And let faith arise. Let faith.
Comes back to us. It was, if you listen to Christian radio, I know you heard it back in the day. I think it's beautiful this morning to have a maskil, a song of praise, especially one that calls us to let faith arise. The title of today's talk is Hope in the Darkness. And I don't know if anybody's been in the dark before in this gathering, Has anybody been in the, you don't need to raise your hand. Has anybody been in the dark? Well, I know that place. I know that place. And so I was on a walk Tuesday evening with our dogs and my youngest daughter, Michaela. She says if Kimberly and ever have a baby, that it has to be a boy because she has to be the youngest and, you know, my favorite daughter. So just so you guys know. but I was on a walk Tuesday evening with her and our dogs, all three of our dogs all together. And when we were out on the walk on the first block, I received a text, or no, it was a Facebook message, that a stranger had received a package of mine. So it was one of those kind of hidden ones that if you don't, you have to allow them access to for you to have a conversation. So I was intrigued because I could see that it was about a package. I couldn't really remember, what I had ordered. It had been a busy week. So anyways, I opened it up. This stranger apologized to me. He said I receive a lot of Amazon boxes, and I opened up your box. I didn't realize it was yours, and it had your name on it, and. So he looked me up on Facebook, and it's not that easy, not that hard to do anymore, right? So I looked at the address, and I immediately knew what had happened. I have done this a couple times now. When I put the order in for some chaplain resources for my new job, some Bibles and some books, I mixed up the address. My old address number was 1173. And my new address is 1177. And so it's very confusing. The numbers are so identical. So I accidentally put my new house numbers with the old street, hence the mix-up. And so I've actually done that with Pizza Hut order a couple times now. So really got my head on straight. But anyways, as I walked over to grab the package, you know, I saw our old neighbors. We used to live, you know, right next to where the house was, or the package was delivered. So I was chatting and catching up with them. Laz says he's going to marry their daughter, so I've got to have a good relationship with them. and they were congratulating me on my new marriage and my new job and all that stuff. And I was catching up with their kids and hearing about their camping trips. And I was standing there, on my old lawn, it dawned on me that, you know, what I've been carrying, this talk, you know, that I've been processing coming up to today about hope in the dark. That was where, for a season of life, I felt like I was never going to recover. And I had returned home. I won't go into the story long, but if, for those of you that don't know, I had returned home from hernia surgery, which was out of the state, long story. Can't share that today. But my former spouse of 25 years of marriage with seven kids between us told us that she wanted a divorce in that house. And I became instantly frail and broken. And of course, there's more to the story, but I cried rivers, violent shaking as I was sobbing. And I was up through the middle of the night thinking that life was over for me. And it started a series of dominoes in my life falling over that pushed me into a hole of a darkness that I didn't even know existed. And for months, I was out of commission. I was leading the church, but if I think back, I can't even remember those 2 months. And after that stop on my old front lawn on Tuesday, I'm coming in today realizing that some of you, of course, live in places that many of us in this room don't fully know about. But at least I know in my story that, you know, there are deep pits that people around us don't necessarily see. And sometimes you don't know how you got in there and you're not really 100% sure how you're going to get out. And that may not be all that helpful to anyone today, but here the psalmist comes to us and he's speaking about that place. He's speaking about that place. And he's encouraging us that there's hope even in the dark. And he says, as a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. We sang that this morning, as a deer pants. I want you to notice how often the soul is referenced here. So yes, there's truth in this psalm, but the psalm is about the emotional and the spiritual pilgrimage that the psalmist is experiencing. And in other words, the song identifies that we're not just a brain, but we're also an emotion, right? We're emotional beings. And so we've been created, on your notes, if you're taking notes today, we've been created as emotional beings. And the psalmist is speaking to his soul and to the inner man, to the emotions that he's feeling, and he's speaking to the emotional pilgrimage that he's on. So let's read this chunk. It says, "So pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go through the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." Now, that's not where he is right now. He's not in the sanctuary. So he says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope," there's our word, "hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember you from the land of Jordan, of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with deadly wounds in my bones, my adversaries taunt me while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" There it is again. "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So right off the bat, I think the most beautiful thing about Psalm 42, talking about hope in the dark, is that the psalm is telling us that it's okay to struggle with mental illness. There's no shame in struggling with mental illness. And there have been times in the past when no one would say that they were depressed or that they had anxiety or that they were having a mental struggle or that they were thinking about taking their life. But fortunately, we're moving into a place where the stigma is being lifted and people can talk about what the psalmist is saying. And he says it two ways, precisely the same in this psalm. He says, "Why are you cast down, soul?" What's the meaning behind the word? It's that the weight of what the psalmist is experiencing has pulled him down. And even more than pulled him down, it's begun to depress him, right? It's been this weight. If you've ever been depressed, you feel that weight. And then he uses the word, "Why, my soul, are you in turmoil within me?" Some translations say, "Why are you so disturbed within me?" In other words, the psalmist says, "I'm depressed and I'm disturbed." And it's right here for everybody to see. It's not like God said, "Okay, I want to work on all this, but don't talk about it. Don't write about it. Let's not put that in scripture." Nope. God says the part of the human journey will be an emotional pilgrimage, and it's right here for everybody to see. I remember in that season, I was a complete wreck. I was having all these physical symptoms and all this stuff going on in my head, and I remember driving to work some days, and I'm physically shaking, and I'm thinking to myself, I cannot go in there and let people see me like this. And finally, I would just take a deep breath, and I would walk in, and I didn't have a message, and obviously I wasn't in a position to lead anything. And I remember saying to Bill Boylan, he's one of my pillars, I was confiding, I had my guys. I had Bill, I had Derek, I had Brent. Those were my pillars. I remember saying to Bill Boylan that I had been confiding in, I'm supposed to be the pastor of this church, but look at me, I'm a wreck. I was in a nasty, terrible spot for about 2 months. And I think what I want to begin with today is what the psalmist is starting with, and that is we've got a person who's depressed and a person who's disturbed. But with the honesty in the psalm, there's still hope in the darkness. So today, I want to ensure that we're all on the same page, if that's okay. And if you're here today and somehow the enemy has tried to put a stigma on you because you're not okay. The psalmist is saying it's not okay. It's okay to not be okay. Now, and we don't want to leave you with that being the sum total of the message today, but it's okay to not be okay. And in the honesty and in the hope, the psalmist is trying to lead us to the place where we can recover our minds when it feels like we're losing them. Are you with me? Okay. And he gives us a few encouragements. So I want us to write this down. Number one, the first one is that we must seek the face of God. It seems like we come back to that one, right? We must seek the face. There's something powerful in this. It sounds simple, I know. And trust me, I know that there's no simple answers to mental struggles. But if we're going to get to the place where we keep our minds and we're living sane, then we have to get face to face with God. There's something about being face to face with the Almighty that just begins to eliminate a lot of the fear that is the root, a lot of times, of depression and anxiety that's in our lives. And that's what the psalmist says. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And then he asks the question, when should I come and appear before God? Now, in the context here, the psalmist wasn't allowed to get to the congregation for some reason. We don't know why. The psalmist remembers the congregation and the shouts of praise, and he remembers them keeping the festival, but he can't get there. And now the psalmist asks, when can I go and meet with God? But in Hebrew, the phrase is more translated, when can I be face to face with God? Not just getting in the building, not just get him, have a little quiet time, not even just, you know, get around a verse of scripture, but how, through the living word of God, can I get face to face with the sovereign God who reigns above the chaos in my life? And that's one of the things that you and I have to fight for. You've got to stand for that if we're going to retain the health of our mind. It's that shift that's been made where all of a sudden we're so adept at multitasking in our world, right? That we multitask our time with God. I mean, some of us, this is just our lives. It's what we're used to. Some of us were born into this. We've got a podcast on going over here that's teaching some amazing teaching. We've got ramen boiling on the stove because we're feeding the kids. We've got a kid yelling, "Mom, Dad," from the other room. You know, we've got a scripture verse up on the refrigerator, and somehow it's like, "I'm with you, God." I've got to make sure this stuff doesn't boil over. No, son, you can't do that right now. You know, all of this stuff going on. We can't go to the park right now, but I'm with you, God. Oh, that was a good point I got from the podcast. You know, so you've got the podcast going. Some of you are like this. You've got the podcast going at 2 times the speed, so it sounds like a chipmunk because you got to get it in. You got to hear it faster. You've got to digest it faster. And you said, "I'm getting it. Something's in there. There's something that's really edifying happening in there." Or, you know, we're driving down I-90, with the guy talking to us from the Bible app, which I love to do. It's a great feature of the Bible app, you know, reading the scripture to us because we've got to get our chapter in for the day or, you know, whatever. And so meanwhile, you know, somebody's coming over in my lane and, you know, I missed that verse, but maybe I'll get it next time. And somehow we've multitasked our relationship with God and we've missed the face of God. Now, Nick, don't take offense to this. It's the day that we traded in the West a prayer closet for a coffee shop. You know what I mean? Instead of setting aside some time, here's what we do. We go to the coffee shop, we put out our Bible, we get our, you know, Stanley cup, and then we get our little coffee, and we get all the stuff set out, and then we snap a picture of it. And instead of hearing the voice of God, we're wondering if Susie's ever going to go up and get her coffee because they've called her name like 5 times. Rant over. But we've got to get to the place where the deer who pants for the streams of water and says, when can I go and be face to face with God? The second thing, number two, the psalmist encourages us to remember. He says it right in verse 4, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul." And he says that again and repeats it in the psalm, that in the dark, I know that there are realities in the dark. Trust me, I know that there are realities in the dark. Like for some of us, I can't get out of bed. You know, I'm in a place, I can't get out of bed. I know that reality. I'm balled up in the corner on the bathroom floor. I know that reality. I can't feel my face or my leg or my arm. There's some physical things that start happening. I know all of those realities, but I also know that even in the darkest place, you can still exercise memory, right? Remember. And what the enemy wants to do, listen to this, what the enemy wants to do is make us afraid of the future. And what does God want to do? Remind us of his faithfulness. See that? The third thing, we sung it this morning. The third thing the psalmist encourages us to do is preach to ourselves. And now listen, my goodness, I know some of you think, well, I'm not a preacher. But my goodness, we are good preachers when somebody else is across the table. You know what I mean? Don't you wonder sometimes if you should have a master's degree in counseling? Right? When you leave one of those appointments and you're like, man, I just laid it out and it was amazing and it was so clear and it was so concise and it was so personal and it was so full of truth and so full of grace and it was very pointed but very kind. And then we get to ourselves down in the dark and we have no idea how to talk to ourselves. And what the psalmist is saying is you've got to learn how to preach to yourself. He says, why are you so downcast, soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Well, I'll tell you one reason, because all these naysayers are up here coming in from the outside and they're taunting the psalmist. You see that? Where is your God? Oh, it looks like you're really tight with Almighty, you know. They're taunting. They're saying stuff. And that might be one of the reasons he was depressed. It could have been a circumstance or a situation. We don't know what it is, but why are you in turmoil within me? And then he has a short, powerful message for himself. What does he say? Put your hope in God. Hope in God. You're like, oh man, please, please, please do not give me that today as the helper for my struggle with my mental health. It might feel like a Christian band-aid a little bit, but no, if your hope is in God, it doesn't matter what you're up against. The story's not over until he says it over. He says, for I shall, he continues to say, again praise him. In other words, something is coming out of the pit. Right? Something is, there's praise coming out of the pit. I don't know when or how or what, but I'm going to put my hope in God. Maybe you're like the psalmist and you're listening to all the voices coming in from the outside, and there are plenty of them. You know, perhaps some have said, you know, you've listened to the voices that you've been speaking to yourself, you're not wanted. And that's what's been depressing you. It's been depressing you for a long time. Maybe you're hearing from your own mind that you're defective or you can't be fixed or you're too far gone or you've become a burden to people. You've become a burden to the world. You're not good enough. All of those things. Maybe somebody told you that, you know, you should just end it all. I've had conversations this week where somebody told them, you should just end it all. Make the pain go away. Somebody told you, if people knew your true story, they'd all be gone. Everybody would be better off without you. You're not going to make it. I'm sorry. You're not going to make it through this. You ever hear those voices? You ever hear those conversations? Or maybe somebody spoke over you, you know, I don't think God's going to come through for you. And the downside is not just that's a struggle. It's when we begin to parrot what we've heard. And now we're the voice that's telling ourselves, I'm not wanted. Right? Or I'm defective, or I can't be fixed, or I'm too far gone, or I'm a burden. And we start telling ourselves, you know, I've got to end this. And if you spend 10 minutes with me this week, that's what you're here. Man, I don't think I'm ever going to make it. I'm not sure if God is going to come through. And the psalmist is saying, no, you have to take the mic and stop listening to yourself and stop preaching to yourself. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, "Have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you're listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself?" Take those thoughts that come to you the moment that you wake up in the morning. You've not originated them, but they're talking to you, and they bring back the problems of yesterday, etc. Somebody's talking to you. Who is talking to you? Yourself. Yourself is talking to you. The psalmist's treatment for this in Psalm 42 is this. Instead of allowing his self to talk to him, he starts talking to himself. "Why are you cast down?" he asked. His soul has been depressing him, crushing him. So he stands up and says, "Self, I want you to listen for a moment. I'm gonna speak to you." And when the psalmist speaks, he just says a simple phrase, "Hope in God." I would encourage you, just start there. I put my hope in you. And when all of those voices come, say, "Excuse me, soul, I'm talking now." It's my turn. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. Put my hope in God. And what I love about this is really lifting up a question today. What are you telling yourself? Are you looking into God's word? Are you gleaning the three or four key things that he's saying over you right now? Are you putting those things into the conversation? And you say, I know all that. But I want to tell you this today. I want to tell you to put your hope in God today. Because this is the truth. Namely, this is what you can speak. I'm a loved son or daughter of a perfect heavenly father. Or, you know, I know it doesn't look like it. Maybe it doesn't feel like it. The circumstances definitely aren't amening it, but he gave his best for me that I could be born again as a son of God or a daughter of God, and I know that I'm loved today. And what the psalmist is saying is he gets and understands the love of God for his life, and he says, now I'm going to put my hope in that. I'm going to put my hope in God. So that may be why I'm here today. I'm not an expert on anything, honestly. I'm not an expert on mental health for sure. But I am here today to say that if you're in that hole, and if you think that you're crazy, you're not. You're not. Maybe you're telling yourself, like I told myself for weeks, you know, I'm losing it. I'm going crazy. This is it. But let me say, if I find myself in that pit again, I'm not going to say I'm crazy, because I'm not crazy. I'm here to tell you on behalf of God, you're not crazy. Now, there may be crazy in it. There may be some real craziness in it, but you're not crazy. And so tell yourself, I'm not crazy. Maybe not to to yourself if you're at the coffee shop, but I have the mind of Christ. Oh, it seems like there could be crazy, but there's not. And then maybe finish where we started. It's okay to not be okay. But let's finish that. So here's the real story that you need to tell yourself. I'm not okay, but don't put the period there. That's where we end the sentence so many times. I'm not okay. Has anybody done that? You don't need to raise your hand, but I'm not okay. Hey, heads up, I'm not okay. It's a good place to start. But the psalmist is helping me understand the whole truth here. Listen, God has never been depressed. Anybody amen that? Amen. He's never had an anxious thought. You know, he's never been afraid. He's never been despondent to the pit of despair. And he's with me. So I'm not okay, but that's not my whole story today. So soul, it's okay to not be okay. I just want you to know you're free and honest, to be authentic today. And I'm going to be right there with you. I'm not okay, but I want us to know, soul, that even though we're not okay, Jesus is okay. And Jesus is in the story with us today, right here and right now. And Jesus says in perfect love, 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love. Fear is the root of so much of what is disturbing inside of us. But the perfect love, and what's the rest of it? That's the love that God is giving us, drives out fear. Perfect love drives out fear. So even that simple statement from the Word of God, I am loved, and because of that, I have nothing to fear. If you're struggling right now with not feeling loved or lovely, that's creating a void that fear is rushing into. But when you embrace that God perfectly loves you, it pushes out the fear and replaces it with hope in God. And I'm here today just as a reminder that whatever you're going through, you're gonna make it, okay? The fourth thing is that the psalmist is encouraging us that we must pierce the darkness when we're in it with worship. That's what he says in the text. Look at verse 8. He says, the Lord will send his goodness in the daytime. So we get that. There's the perfect love of God. And his song will be with me in the night, a prayer to the God of my life. This is intriguing because it's at night where you think everything ends a lot of times. It's in the darkness. But he's saying, no, in the night, worship can still go on. Paul and Silas, who are beaten up, right? They're in prison. And what are they doing? They're singing some songs. They're having a jam session in the jail cell, singing praise to God at midnight, and the Spirit moves, and the whole jail is shaken. And what the psalmist is saying is God can give a song even in the darkest place, and we've got to sing it. Now, a few months into my crazy journey, I was on the bathroom floor. I was all alone. I've told this story many times, but I feel like I'm just going to keep on telling it. I want to keep on telling it. I want to keep testifying from the pit, because 3 a.m., when 3 a.m. came, I hated bedtime in that season. I hated it because I knew I would just be up going to the bathroom and sobbing on the floor. That's what would happen every night, 3 a.m., sobbing every night. Every night there was this weight and this cloud and this dread and this doom that just kind of descended, and I didn't know how to manage it. I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know where to put it. And on this particular night, I just felt like I was done, and I'd seen the doctors and I'd been getting help. Nobody's been able to write that sentence. The doctor has not been able to write that sentence. This will fix how you feel, and by Tuesday you'll be better. You know? It's the intangible. You can't see it, and I can't put my hands around it. I don't know what to do with it. And on that particular night, desperate, I just kind of did the thing. Help. You got to help me, God. Help. I was so broken down, and I was so weak. And Holy Spirit, you got to remember, never leaves us. And in that moment, Holy Spirit helped me, and he reminded me of another season in life decades before where our family had faced a huge challenge, and I had been up through the nights, different way. I wasn't going into these deep bouts of depression, but I was praying and crying out to God for a miracle. And I learned in that season, Job 35:10, that God gives songs in the night. There are certainly songs to be sung in the day, but God gives songs in the night. And I said right then and there, when Holy Spirit reminded me that, God, if you give me this song, I'm going to sing it. And it's probably going to be broken. And it's not going to sound great, but I'm going to sing it. And just like that, a melody started coming to my mind. It was a melody that turned into a song that God gave me in December of 2020. And it was Christmas time, and we were doing a series about peace. And I just started singing, peace overwhelm me, it's flourishing, oh peace, peace beyond understanding, it is flourishing, oh peace. And I'd sing that little melody, just not even a lot of words, from the middle of the night till about 6 o'clock in the morning, over and over and over again. That was my song. Those words and those phrases were my little heaven song. Probably to anybody else, they don't mean much, but to me, they were everything. And I learned this from my friends Brent, I shared about the song that he wrote in his season. And I was also reading this book, Come Back, by Louis Giglio at that time. And he talks about a song that the Lord gave him in the middle of the night in his book. And he wrote these words in his journal. He said, "Be still, my soul. There is a healer." I sang that song at the beginning that some of you remembered. He wrote these words in the middle of the night. He was crushed with anxiety. He couldn't get out of his bed. "Be still, my soul. There is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it is unfailing. His arms, a fortress for the weak." And he was in a battle of extreme anxiety at the time. And he wrote to God that night. He said, "You didn't heal me last week. You didn't heal me yesterday. You didn't heal me today. And I don't know if you're ever going to heal me tomorrow." That's a journal entry, right? But he says, "I know that you're a healer because I've read the full story. And I know people. And I've experienced it in my own life." So he writes, "I don't know if you'll heal me, but I know that you're a healer. So I'm going to praise you because you've healed me, and I'm going to praise you because you're a healer, and I'm going to just sing this little song that you've given me. It's not much of a song at all, but I will sing it the rest of the night. Be still, my soul. There is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it is unfailing, and his arms, a fortress for the weak." And he just sang it. He just had this simple little melody, and he'd sing it. He did the same thing. He sang it over and 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 over. Finally, he said he fell asleep. He woke up the next day, and guess what? The darkness came the next day. Same cloud, same dread, same doom, same weight, same darkness, and same heaviness. But he talks about, he said, "But I had a song. I had a song for the night, and I sang it." This is where I learned from this story to just, you know, "Lord, give me a song." For I kept singing that song in the night until finally the song was bigger than the cloud. And yes, doctors helped me, and yes, friends and prayer helped me, but I'm telling you, I believe it was worship at the tip of the spear that poked a hole in the darkness and let a ray of light of God in. And I'm telling you, worship is amazing at noon, but it's a wrecking ball to darkness at night. I love that. So there's the song that we sang by the other guy that we know, Brent Parker, who wrote the song that we sang earlier, "You're the glory and the lifter. You're the glory and the lifter of my head." There was a time where he couldn't move because, you know, they were afraid. I don't understand all the stuff that goes with the detached retina, but he was serious. And he was literally, he was told not to move in the bed. And so he was in a place of, he was in a bad place. And every time I sing the lines, I think about that. And he says, "I lift my eyes up to the hills." I just kind of get some chills because, you know, where does the help come from? He received his healing, and I still, when he comes and visits, I'll sit five rows back because he says he can't see the fifth row, but he always knows me because of my laugh. But he's not blind. He's legally blind, but man, he's still walking around. He's not driving the car yet, so maybe he's still getting his full healing. But the song of the night, "I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord." Simple song. Not a lot of words to that song. It's one of my favorite songs. It gives the song a whole new meaning, doesn't it? Song sung in the darkness. So I want to close by saying this. What the psalmist is encouraging us to do by putting his story out there is that he's speaking to you today. Step into the light. Now, maybe you're not a singer. That's okay. You can take a song, find a song, get a favorite song, get a Brandon Lake song, and play that. Let him do the singing, and you can just, you know, do your whatever you do. But there's darkness piercing the light, so step into the light. In a different way, he's saying to you today, get help. Step over the stigma and come into the light because God's in the light today and you can put your hope in him. Psalm 42, there's two places here he repeats himself. "Why are you cast down, oh my soul. And if you flip over to Psalm 43, the chapter ends and it repeats that phrase a third time. What is that telling us? It's telling us today that it's possible that there's no instant solution to a persistent condition. And so, Sean, you know, what do I do if I take the psalmist's advice and I find a song in that night and I put my hope in God, but tomorrow I'm in the darkness again? You put your hope in God. And you do it tomorrow. So what if I have to stay in it for a month? I've been there. Put your hope in God. Every single step of that month, put your hope in God and keep putting your hope in God and walk towards the light. I had to share this story. Louis's book, Comeback, was such a great read for me when I was in that place. And he shares a story about a girl in Colorado who sent him on a trajectory of just sharing about stepping into the light. The Passion team was on tour nights all across America at the time in all kinds of places around the world. This was after he'd, you know, recovered from his pit. And they wound up preaching to several thousand middle and high school students at an event in Colorado. And I have a video I want to share with you. If you just watch it, make sure the audio is turned up so we can hear him.
I also know this. I know God is still alive. And God has a plan. I was speaking a few months ago in an event that changed the trajectory of my now. Carrie and Cody, who had led in D.C. tonight, were leading at this event with me after my message, which was not really related to what I'm saying right now. They were leading worship. I was standing on the side of the stage. As they were leading their first song of response, I got an impression in my mind, in my spirit, of a picture of a person. And, you know, all those things come and go, and so I kind of like to hold those loosely, but I sense the Lord had put an impression. I could see someone, not to the minute detail, but pretty clearly in my mind. And the Lord said, there's a person in this room who's got a plan right now to end their life. Not that they've thought about it, that they've been sad, that they've been lonely, that, you know, they've been desperate at times, but they actually have a plan in place. They have written a letter in their journal, which is in their drawer, in their desk, in their bedroom, and they are here tonight, but they already have a plan in place, and I want to rescue them tonight. I want to speak the psalmist words over them tonight. I will live and not die, and I will declare what the Lord has done. And so I looked at Carrie in between the songs and I just said, can I speak? She stepped to the side a bit. I walked out. I described not that person I saw, but I just said, I believe there's somebody here tonight. And I believe you have a specific plan. You've already written a letter, already said goodbye to your family. You think you're the only person who's seen that letter. But what I want you to know tonight is two people have seen that letter. You've seen it, and Jesus has seen it, and Jesus is speaking to you right now, and he wants to interrupt your funeral plan with a message, and that message is that he is for you and not against you. He's got purposes and plans for your life, and I'm not trying to hype anything up, but if somehow faith is turning around in your heart in this night, I want to give you a chance to say, I'm standing with the hope that God is speaking over my life. And out of a room full of about 4,000 teenagers, high school and middle school students, I said, if that's you, I want to pray for you. And the people closed their eyes. We gave a moment of privacy for that. Everybody was already standing in the worship. But I said, if that's you, I want you just to lift your hand as high and as bold as you can. And I want to pray over you. And in the next few seconds, I almost completely collapsed in the response. Because I want to say, and I can't specifically remember every detail about that moment, but out of that 4,000 people, I want to say somewhere between 100 and 200 hands went into the air. And we prayed, and I believe God worked and moved. We left that room and went back into the back room where everybody was kind of hanging out, the leadership, as we left. And one of the youth leaders who put the conference on walked up to me and said, did you plan on doing that at the end? I said, no, God just put a picture of this girl in my mind, and I just felt like that heaven wanted to reach out for her. And he said, well, it's really amazing that God led you to do that, because maybe you don't know, but where you're standing right now is the zip code with the highest teen suicide rate in America. And so the next day, I got a message via social media. It's kind of interesting how that can happen. And the message was from someone who just wrote, I'm paraphrasing now, if anybody ever asks you in your life if you've been a part of saving someone's life, you can always say yes. And I understand it's not me. You get that. And they wrote, you saved mine tonight. I already have a plan in place and had already planned a few days after this conference for the place and the time that I was going to end my life. And I've already written my letter to my family. But tonight, God changed my heart. And I am not going to die, but I'm going to live and be a part of God's purposes for my life.
Oh, come on. That night saved the girl's life. And for Louis, knowing who that person was and what she presented to him an opportunity for the church to realize that there's people sitting at your table and in your row, all around us, probably in this room, if you're watching online, people in your block, who need to know that you or the church is a safe place to step into the light. It's a safe place to step into the light and say, I need help. And I want to say what the psalmist said, I will not die, but I will live. And I'm going to declare what the Lord has done. Because at the end of this psalm, it says, put your hope in God. Why though? Well, because I don't want to be depressed. That's not the only reason. Why? Well, because I don't want to be disturbed anymore. I want peace. I want normality. I want wholeness. But that's not the whole story. That's not it. Yes, the song is good in the story, but God's glory is also in the story. And because if I don't die, here's what happens. I have the opportunity to glorify God. And if I put my hope in God in time, he's going to bring me through. That's what he does. He's the king of the comeback story. And I'm going to have a story to tell. And it's going to be a powerful story because I'm going to talk about a place that you don't come out of very easily. But one that God can reach down into and pull you up out of. And he's working right now for your good, but he's also working right now for his glory. At the end of it all, it's interesting. You know that song that we read the lyrics to earlier? I guess we sang it on the piano. I lift my hands. Those were the words that Louis had penned in his midnight hour. It's kind of crazy to him because it became a number one Christian radio song. It was a songwriting session where he was in a season of writing music, and it was in a little writing circle with a pretty decent worship leader by the name of Chris Tomlin and a friend of his, another songwriter, Matt Marr. And as they would typically do in those kind of moments, they asked, anybody got anything, you know, bring to the circle, a thought to get us started? And Louis said, I've got these few lines that I scribbled in the darkness. And at the end of the day, interestingly enough, that song was nominated for a Grammy. Didn't win it, but he was nominated. He was nominated. People were singing that song and being encouraged. And I remember singing that song. I sang that song at our family's memorial service that we had for our miscarried babies and being encouraged. Some of you have probably been encouraged by that song, or Brent's song, or somebody else's song. But think about where those songs came from. And I'm like, you know, how could God use those horrific nights, those middle of the night battles with darkness, to redeem and to encourage and to give breath? Louis didn't end up winning the Grammy, but you know what? No matter how far down in the hole you are today, put your hope in God, because he's going to mine up gold out of those pits. That's what he does. Those deep, dark holes, which is more precious than any Grammy. Amen. Yet I will praise him, soul. So, will you hear me today, soul? Are you listening to me today? I'm going to praise him. He's my Savior and my God, and he's my hope. So I'm telling you today, the enemy is not going to win. Today, let faith arise. Let faith arise and give hope in the dark. I just want to close by singing some of those choruses just as a way of responding. Is that okay? And then we'll be done.
Be still. There is a healer. His love is deeper than the sea. His mercy, it is unfailing. His arms, a fortress for the weak. So let faith my heart in these things, I remember.
Jesus. Amen. Come on. I was mentioning, we're done. I was mentioning how many times that I've talked about the Prince of Peace this week as a chaplain. Some of you know I just accepted a new role where I'm a corporate chaplain, but I also do virtual care in between those times when I'm feet on the ground. And there was a 2-hour shift. It was my first one this weekend where I answered calls from the prayer network, and it was call after call after call after call. They were waiting in queue just with every kind of situation you can imagine, because a lot of times when people are calling into the prayer line, they're in a crisis. And I found myself over and over just declaring the Prince of Peace in the room. The Prince of Peace is there with you. He's there with you in the pit. He never left you. He'll carry you out. Put your hope in God. That's the only answer. That's the only answer. I don't have any, you know, if you're looking for somebody when you call the line to give you some advice, I'm not your guy. Except for that. Put your hope in God. Seek Him. Prince of Peace will walk into the room. He'll give you peace beyond understanding. The Holy Spirit is the comforter, and He's really good at His job. So let's respond. I know we already sung, but Father God, we just thank You this morning that You are our hope. You're the living hope. God, we rest in You this morning. God, we've been praying it over and over. We've been saying it over and over these last 5 talks, that You are our living hope. And so, God, I pray that even in the darkness, Lord, let light will shine through. God, hold us together. Hold us together when we are in the darkest places. Lord, we will declare You as healer. Emotionally, physically, all of that. When we feel like when we don't feel it, God, just help us to put our trust in You. We can trust You. You're holding us in Your hands. You are a good God. We remember that. We remember Your faithfulness to us already. So God, draw us back to that place of worship. Draw us to sing songs in the middle of the night when it doesn't feel like there's anything else that we can do. Give us a song to sing, to hold on to. I thank You for Your faithfulness. Anybody say amen this morning? Amen. Amen and amen. Well, just a little testimony from this last week. We saw miracles this week. We saw healings. We saw we saw demonic oppressions being broken off. All throughout, you know, a myriad of different things that we're involved with this week. And so God is faithful and God is good. He is the healer. So hold on to hope. Hold on to hope. Amen. All right. Before we leave, if there's anybody here that has not said yes to following a Jesus who is an anchor for our soul, I want to give you that opportunity this morning with every head bowed and every eye closed. If that's you, I have a prayer that I just want to lead all of us in this morning. Would you raise your hand? We want to see you this morning just so I can agree with you. See your hand. Thank You, Jesus. So let's pray this prayer together. You know, even if there isn't somebody in this room, every time we do a service, it's broadcast online, it's archived, and people watch these. I want to pray with you if that's you, because we can all pray this together. Father God, I give You my life. I surrender all that I am to Your goodness. I know that You are good. Thank You for coming to be my rescue.
I want to live my life for you. The cross has paid it all. And your resurrected life is resurrecting me right now. I'm yours. Amen.